you. It's not going to have anything to do with you, okay? It's going to have all to do with God and the people around you, all right? Don't get me wrong. All right, it will have something to do about you, all right? But ultimately, it will be about God, His glory, and what we can do to extend His glory, all right? So if I gave this lesson a title, it would be Enjoy His Grace and Extend His Glory. Enjoy His Grace and Extend His Glory. Now, Brother Gilbert hyped you guys up. He said that you all are, well, number one, he said you are a conservative church. He said, number two, you are very well studied. You guys educate yourselves. You are like how the church is meant to be, which means we stay in the scriptures, right? And everything we hear, we make sure that it's in the scriptures. So I heard that about you, and I'm glad to hear that. And hopefully that nothing that I say here will be outside of the scriptures, all right? The good thing is I don't have to make up anything, because the word of God has already been spewed out the mouth of the prophets and the apostles. All I have to do is take it and regurgitate it. Amen, amen. So it'll be easy for me. But hopefully, like I said, I'm easy to follow. You guys speak my language. Probably just a little accent on it. But I think we're going to get to the same place at the same time, all right? So the first thing I want to say, all right, like I said, we're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about His glory. But we're going to talk about His big plan for us. What is this all about? Because ultimately, I believe that we can forget what this is all about. We can forget. Brother Mason talked about how the life that we live is not an easy life, right? And the life that Christians live is definitely not an easy life. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the weak. Christians have to be the strong people of society, all right? We have to push on when other people are willing to give up, right? We have to look to the skies and look to the mountains where our strength comes from when other people are looking down at their feet. We have to continue to see things what other people do not see. We can see the end. They can only see now, right? So we have to be strong. That's why the Christian faith is not for the weak. But we're going to look at God's big plan for us. We're going to look at the mystery of His will, as was read in Ephesians chapter 1, all right? But to do that, we got to go all the way back. All the way back to the beginning, all right? So let's go to Genesis. We're going to start Genesis where we're just going to figure out our twofold purpose. There's a great twofold purpose of us. All right, we have many purposes while we're here, but there's a twofold purpose, ultimately, all right, for us. And we're going to look at that. But first, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. All started in the creation, right? And we're going to start reading at verse number 26. Verse number 26. And you're going to recognize a pattern in all the scriptures we read, all right? You're going to recognize a pattern. Somebody who's here with us from America, please make sure you take a picture or video, because this is my first time speaking outside of the U.S. All right, so take something so that you know people don't think I'm just lying. All right, do something, please. Thank you very much. All right, so Genesis chapter 1, and this is so God created everything. All right, after He created everything, He begins to talk amongst Himself. I believe this is the Holy Trinity. He's talking in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He said, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In God's image, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. Number one, what did God do? He blessed them. He blessed them, all right? Just out of His grace. We did not do anything to deserve a blessing, right? He just created us, and He blessed us. That's number one. God said to them, right after the blessing, though, look at this. Right after He blessed them, He gave them a command. He gave them a command. He didn't waste time. He says, have dominion over the fish. I hear it. I'm going to put this mic back a little bit. I hear echo. I'm sorry, verse number 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You all see that? So, He blessed them, and then He gave them a command to fill the earth. So, remember, He created us in His image. He created us to be like Him. Go. We have a soul, we have a spirit, right? We are flesh, but we have soul and spirit. No other created thing under this sun has a soul and a spirit. So we have a special union with God just like that. We can do things that nothing else under the sun can do, and that is have a relationship like this, where we can commune with God in the spirit. That's why John tells us that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, all right? Because we are the only beings, as I said, under the sun that can do this, okay? So He blessed them. He created them to be like Him. And then He says, go fill the earth with many needs, basically. That's what He's saying, right? Because remember, God rules over everything, but He let some things be under our rule, under our control, and under our authority. So this is good. God creates us. He creates us to have dominion over things, not for things to have dominion over us. But when we look outside, right, these four walls, we see a lot of times, we are living under the things that were created, right? We are controlled by the things that man has created. Even things that God has created to be a blessing to us, sometimes we let that be our curse. That's not God's problem. That is our problem. We have that free will. And sometimes we allow things to have control over us, to conquer us, to have authority over us. But either way, God created us to have dominion over things, all right? And then to go out and spread His face all over the world. Can you see this? Can you see this in God's big plan of things? He created everything. He creates man. He creates him with His image. And then He says, go fill the earth. Go fill the earth. Basically so that ultimately people can start looking up to God, right? And start saying, thank you, God. Thank you, right, for everything we have. Thank you. And can you just imagine God sitting high, looking low, and looking on a whole bunch of mini-me's, a whole bunch of mini-hims, right, who are doing the things that He wants them to do, and He's getting glory and honor from that, but He's continuing to bless them? Man, this is a beautiful picture, right? This is how it was meant to be. I'm going to go ahead and go to our next scripture, and this is going to be, we're going to kind of zoom through some of the Old Testament, and we're going to get to the New Testament. I didn't ask him what time he normally preaches. He says, do what you like. He says, I do what I like. You do what you like. All right. It's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I don't know. But I hopefully be about 30 minutes. All right. We'll see. You guys got to hold me to that. So we just talked about how we are to have a relationship with Him unlike anything else, right? We were blessed just out of the goodness of His grace, nothing we deserved, right? We were created to rule over creation and enjoy His grace. We were commanded to procreate and fill the earth with His image so that we can ultimately look back at Him and glorify Him. Now, remember, the nations got all messed up, right? They started doing whatever they wanted to do, and pretty much anything that came to their mind, the Bible says, they were doing it, right? They were just creating ways to do evil. Even today, people create ways. It's not enough evil around. They have to create more ways to do evil. Well, the Bible says that that's what they were doing. And God got to the point where He said, I am going to cleanse this earth, right? I'm going to take man off the face of the earth. I am grieved I created them, He says. And He destroys the earth, but He starts over, right? Somewhat all over, right? And He starts it with just 8 souls. Noah's family. And He does the same thing with them. We don't have time to just look at it, but you can read it by yourself. He starts over and He says, bless you, right? He blesses them, and He tells them to fill the earth. And He tells them what they can eat and things like that, all right? But He says, I'm blessing you. Now go out, all right? Go out and share the blessing, basically what He's saying, okay? So that's where we are there. That's what Noah does. Now, Genesis chapter 12. And verses 1 through 3, we're going to read 1 through 3. Is it okay? I'm a Bible preacher. I do a lot of reading. Like I said, I don't like to make up stuff too much. I just like to make it easy for myself. Some people may call me the lazy preacher. I don't know, but I just read and I explain, all right? So that's all I'm going to do. So Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. It says, now Yahweh said to Abram, leave your country and your relatives and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You all see that? Again, so He's starting with giving Abraham a blessing. Abraham didn't do anything special to deserve this blessing, all right? He decided, he said, I'm going to call this man out, and I'm going to make him great, all right? He didn't deserve anything. This could have been any of them, all right? So he said, I'm going to do that for you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. So first he says, I'm going to bless you, but what will you do? You're going to be a blessing. This is good. And then he goes on to say in verse number 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, some people don't like this verse. I was talking to a young person, and he was talking about how, you know, blacks are, you know, the real Israel, and how God's going to make sure we're taken care of, and that he's going to trump, you know, certain groups of people that oppress them, things like that. And he tries to make it more so about, you know, specific ethnicity. But here, what does it say? From the beginning, God's plan was to bless all nations, right? To bless all the families of the earth. Amen. Through who? Through the seed of Abraham. Amen. So Abraham went, as Yahweh had told him. Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Okay? You got that? So I'm not reading his whole story or anything like that, all right? I'm just cruising up. All right, we are going for a cruise just through the Bible to see how God has been working his ultimate plan from the beginning. All right, to bless us, but ultimately to get the glory from it. All right, and to spread the blessing to others. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14. You all probably know who we're going to talk about next for a second. Well, it's in Exodus, so I'm guessing you guys know who that is. That's Moses, right? So Exodus chapter 14. We'll pick up at verse number 15. All right. So time has passed. God allowed his people to go into captivity. All right. Basically, they were under the Egyptian nation. And God chose the time. The right time was now to send his person, right? His chosen one to go and to save his people. Oh, thank you. So let's look at, this is Exodus again, chapter 14. And let's look at verse number 15. And it says, Yahweh said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go into the middle of the sea on dry ground. Behold, I myself will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Now, people always focus on Pharaoh. And they say, well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But here he hardened the Egyptians. That is plural, right? Not singular. So he hardened the Egyptians' hearts for them to all start to really go after him. And they shall go in after them. And I will get myself, what is he going to get? He's going to get some honor, right? He's going to get his glory. As Brother Gilbert said, he says, God's going to get his glory with you, without you, or over your dead body. I just want him to get it with me without having to kill me, things like that, right? You can get it easily for me, all right? But he says that he's going to get honor over Pharaoh and over all his enemies, over the chariots and over his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know. He said, they're going to know who is really boss around here. They're going to give me the glory I deserve. They're going to turn to me and at least recognize we don't got nothing on him, right? Pharaoh, the person we've been serving, has nothing on him. All right? He said, I'm going to get glory over them. They're going to recognize that I am Yahweh when I have gotten myself honor over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. You all see that? All right, so there. We're going to continue going. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. And hopefully you guys are remembering all these, because we're going to just put them all together in like one big stew. Alright, and then we're going to feed it. Everybody's going to eat of it. And hopefully we'll all be blessed, alright, from this lesson. I pray to God that we are all blessed from this lesson and motivated, alright, to do things for him. So, Daniel chapter 3. I'm really going to start reading around verse number 26. So, you know, time has passed, right? Time has passed. And again, the children of Israel are under another government. Why? Because they weren't doing what God told them to do. God brought them to the promised land. He said, hey, I'm going to bless you. All you got to do is keep my commands, right? But he said, I'm also going to lay a curse before you. If you don't keep my commands, well, I'm going to allow another nation. And that's what he does. I still believe he does that today. He allows nations to check other nations. He says, you don't want to get right? I will send this nation who don't. They don't even have to believe in me. But I'm going to work through them. I'm going to send them to get you right. So that's what he did, all right? He sent the nations many times, really, to try to get Israel right. And at this time, they were under Nebuchadnezzar's rule, okay? In chapter 3, and again, we're going to start. What verse did I say we're going to start at? 26. Good. You guys are good listeners. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so he answered. Look. Wait, maybe I have to describe a little more. All right, so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were told to worship and praise down before this mighty, mighty, mighty big statue, okay? And this statue was of Nebuchadnezzar. How full of yourself do you have to be, right? I mean, I see if they want to make a statue after you die, something, but you command them, hey, make a statue big. I want to be able to look at it. I want everybody else to bow down before it, all right? So that's what he does. He makes a big statue. People are told you have to bow down before him, all right? When you hear these trumpets blow and things like that, you better bow down. Otherwise, you're gonna be forced to incur some consequences that you don't like. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, all right? Those were people who knew Daniel, and they knew the one true God. And they stayed with the one true God. Isn't it amazing that God always keeps his remnant? No matter how many people are going to fall off the path of God, even if you are the only one, remember, God is with you. God is watching you. And God will work mighty things with the few. He always has and he always will. All right? It's not the majority. Don't. I tell you, when you see the majority going somewhere, you better almost think like, I don't know, I think I better go this way. Because most of the time, the majority is going for the easier route, right? The painless route, the route that you don't need any perseverance. But either way, that route is normally the way that leads to death. That is the way that leads to death. So anyway, we're back here. So we're at that time where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. We just have to take the consequences, right? And Nebuchadnezzar got mad, got furious, put him in the fiery furnace. Put him in this furnace where they were going to burn up, all right? This is pretty much going to be hell on earth for them, all right? All right, let's continue, though. We're going to look at, I'm going to start at verse number 24. Verse number 24. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste. He spoke and said to his counselors, wait, didn't we cast three men bound in the middle of the fire? So he started asking people around, wait, I know what we did. It was three people that went in there, right? He answered, look, I see four men loose walking in the middle of the fire, and they are unharmed. The appearance of the fourth is like the son of the God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High, come out and come here. Then Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came out of the middle of the fire. The satraps, the deputies, and the governors, and the king's counselors being gathered together, they saw these men that the fire had no power on their bodies. You know, this was a story I loved to hear when I was a little kid, and I loved to see the little animations and, you know, the videos about it, because this was just so amazing. And they showed how the people who put them in the fire, I mean, they started burning up because they just got close to it, and they started burning up. But you see these people in the middle of a fire, in the middle of the fiery furnace, where perseverance is mostly needed, where the heat is really on, where most people would have threw in the towel and said, you know what? Let me bow down, right? I mean, if I was there, I don't know what I would do. It's easy to say we would try to be strong, but I don't know. I'd probably say, you know what? I better pray about it later. But right now, I'm going to... Well, anyway, these people had some serious faith. And they continued to stick to what they said they were going to do. And the Lord provided. All right, the Lord provided because... Well, he is the Lord, and he is good all the time. So we stop. Let's go to verse number 28, because we got to continue to see what happened after this.
I'm still in verse number 27. It says, the hair of their head wasn't singed, their pants weren't changed, and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree. This is amazing. The same king who said everybody bow down before me, he changes it all around. And he starts making rules for the God of heaven. Listen to this. In verse number 29, he says, therefore I make a decree. This is a law. He says that every person, every nation, I don't care what person you are, what nation you're from, whatever language you speak, would speak anything evil against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you shall be cut in pieces and your house shall be made a dunghill. Y'all know what dung is, huh? A dunghill? Yeah, that's not a place you want to be. Because there is no other God who is able to deliver like this. So what do we see? We see God bless Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? But ultimately, who got the glory? Who got the honor? Who got the praise? God. It's a beautiful thing to just be on God's side. Because even if he's not blessing you for yourself, you still incur the blessings because it's for his name's sake. And he says he got a name to uphold. So therefore, he's going to look good. He's going to make sure he looks good. And you just may be looking good in the process. Don't that sound good? I see some people, y'all got some stony faces. I don't know what... Smile, you can smile. This is some good news, all right? Because what he could do with them, he could do with you. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be very miraculous in how it works, but God still works in mysterious ways. He still works with his people. And I can tell you, I know I look young, and I'm still kind of young, but I have many stories of how God just did things with nothing in my life. And you say it's still a miracle, huh? Well, either way, it's something that is God's providence. He still provides. And I'm still here to tell about it. And it may not be as miraculous looking at some of these things, all right? But I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. All right? I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. All right, let's continue. Because we got to hurry up now. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. And that's right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 36. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say please wait. I still hear pages turning. Y'all, don't be lying. If you don't got it, you don't got it, all right? We can wait a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to start around verse 20. Verse 20. And he says, when they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name in that men said of them, these are Yahweh's people and have left his land. He says, but I have respect for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. So what did they do? They profaned the name of the Lord. They did the opposite of giving glory and honor, and they took it away from them. They made God look bad, basically. You know he had blessed them with many things before? Mm-mm. They took his name and basically stomped on it. And the other nations start seeing this. They said, wait, are these supposed to be God of heaven's people? Well, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. So God is talking and he says, my people have done this. He says, therefore tell the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Yahweh, I don't do this for your sake, what he's about to do. He says, I'm not doing this for your sake, all right? He says, or the house of Israel, but for my holy name. Again, he's going to do something great for his own holy name, all right? Not for your holy name, for his holy name. So he says, I'm going to do something great for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will sanctify my name, which has profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh. Just like those people in Egypt, right? He says, they don't know who I am, that I'm the great God of heaven, that everybody needs to worship. I don't care who you are, what language you speak, you're going to recognize, all right, that I am the one where all your... So he continues, he says, when I have proven holy in you before their eyes. He says, now this is what he says you're going to do. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will also give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. You all see that? He says, I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my ordinances and do them. You will dwell in the land that I have given your fathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. So he's going to clean them spiritually. He's going to clean them. He's going to put them a new heart. That stony heart. Some of y'all got some stony faces in here. You need a faith transplant, all right? But he said that he's going to do that with people's hearts, all right? He's going to take that stony heart that's so hardened to the Word of God, that can't seep the Word of God in. He says, well, I'm going to take that heart and make it of flesh, all right? So that it can take in the Word of God like it's supposed to, all right? He said, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to bring you back to your land. And it doesn't stop there. He says, he continues. Look at verse number 29. He says, I will save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the grain, and I will multiply it. That's food he's talking about, some food, all right? He said, I'm going to get you some food in here, and I will lay no famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase the field, that you may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember the evil ways, your evil ways, and your deeds that you were that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. He says again, I don't do this for your sake, says the Lord Yahweh. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, house of Israel. So he's continuing to say, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do some good things for you, all right? But I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it, I like how she said that. I got some help over here. I'm not doing it for you, but I'm doing it despite of you. I'm going to bless you anyway. Even when you're stomping on my name. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to bless you. Then you're going to recognize your ways. You're going to say, man, we've been doing him wrong. Let's go back to him. And he says that other people are going to see that. And his name is going to get glory. Amen? I'm going to go down to verse number 36. 36, all right? He says, then the nations that are left around you will know that I, Yahweh, have built the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, for this, moreover, will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the flock of sacrifice, as the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast. So the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. All right, so my purpose for reading that scripture is just to go along with what we've been saying. God blesses us, but ultimately God wants us to bless other people and for him to get the glory. Okay? All right. Skip Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. You can read that. I'm going to go ahead and skip that. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what was read earlier, all right? Ephesians chapter 1. And we about to put this airplane down. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me get a sip of water here. All right, everybody with me? All right, Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 3. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you think he did that for our sake? Well, it helps us out. But he didn't do this for our sake. Again, remember, everything he has done ultimately is for his own glory. He created us for his own glory, his own purpose. We're pretty much pawns in his game. But thank God he's a good God. And he gives us good things. Amen. And people look around and say, I ask some people, how you doing? Considering I'm still alive, I guess I'm okay, you know. Your attitude's like, you just don't know. You just don't know. If I told us just take 30 seconds to think about what you really deserve and how you really deserve to be treated by God.
Take 30 seconds and just think about that. Yeah, you may have some better days. But you're like, well, you know, I was on point that day. But you don't deserve God's blessing. You never deserve God's blessing, all right? We did more bad probably than we did good. If we be honest with ourselves, all right? But thank God, God makes more things good in our lives than bad. It can always be worse. And when you start to look at it the opposite way, like, glass is half full, think about it. Think about it. No, more things are going good in your life than bad. They just are. They just are. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to continue reading. Verse number 4, he says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without defect before him in love, having predestined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his desire, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Again, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he freely gave us favor in the beloved, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will. So somebody might know what's God's purpose for us, right? What's the overwhelming for us? Why are we all here? What is this all about? What is life all about? People are looking, trying to find themselves. Where are you going to start with? I hear people saying that. Well, I'm just myself and things. Listen, you need to find God because that's where it all started. And he will tell you who you are, what you need to be doing, who you're supposed to be with. He will tell you those things. And he will tell you what his plan is for you at the end of all things. You don't got to guess. People looking around guessing, trying to run out and reading all these like that. God has already told you. You just got to listen. You just got to listen. So he says, this is what the mystery of his will is. All right? He says, we gotta. Now, it was a mystery. We're not supposed to keep this mystery quiet, okay? It's not one of those mysteries where we say, shh, we're going to keep it among ourselves, right? This is a mystery for all. He says, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, to an administration of the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him, in whom also we were assigned an inheritance. So he says, number one, Christ is going to have everything under him. All right. Now, when he woke up that great Sunday morning, all authority, all things was given unto him. All right. He says that all things will be given unto him. He says the things in heaven and the things on earth in him, in whom also we were assigned an inheritance. We were assigned an inheritance. You know how you are assigned rooms when you go places? You know, we were assigned hotel rooms. We're here, we assigned those things, right? Well, God has assigned to you an inheritance. You have something just for you. Your name on it. Nobody else can take it from you. Now, you can give it up if you want. And I'm going to take it. No, but I want you to have your inheritance. So he says, we all have an inheritance. He says, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who does all things after the counsel of his will. To the end. So he does everything for his will. But this is to the end. So you want to get to the end of the race? You know what's at the end? He's telling you what's at the end, all right? To the end that we should be to the praise of his glory. Ultimately, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for, okay? To be the praise of his glory. You know, I'll stop for just a moment. This reminds me of somebody. What's his name? You anybody heard of Tebow, something like that? He's a football player in the U.S. Tebow, there you go. Tebow, yeah, there you go. Tebow, right? I noticed something about him, and I don't even watch football like that, but this man, he gets on a knee and bow. Like, I don't know if it's before every game or after every game, but he does that. I think it's before every game. He bows down, all right, like in the end zone, and he takes a knee. And people look, they probably wonder what he's doing. Most people think they know he's praying. And he prays, and we finally found out what he prays about. And he said, this is what he prays. He says, I pray that, he don't pray to win, all right, like a lot of people pray to win. No, he says, whether I win or whether I lose, I honor God. I honor God. No matter what is going on in your life, hopefully you honoring God, all right? No matter who you around in your life, even if you're the only one serving God, just hopefully, all right, you are honoring God. Even if you are taking L after L after L, that means loss. Right? Even if you've taken many losses, hopefully you get back up and understand that God is not done with you. All right, you are still a work in progress. You are still being transformed into His image of His Son. And He says everybody who has that hope in Him to be like Him one day is pushing themselves. Now, we are around each other to help push one another, because sometimes I need a little push. But He says we need to be pushing ourselves to be more looking like Him from the inside out if we hope to look like Him one day. So here, He says, the whole purpose is for Him to get praise from us. We who have before hoped in Christ, in Him you also, having heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation in Him, having also believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. How many people had the Holy Spirit in here? Raise your hand. How many people had the Holy Spirit in here? Raise your hand. I didn't say how many people count the Holy Spirit. I said, how many people have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit? That means you obeyed the gospel. That means that you did what Christ commanded you to do. And He is King of kings in your life. He is King over your heart. When He tells you to go somewhere, you don't question Him. You go, right? When He tells you to do something, you don't question Him, right? You do, right? Well, He says, you are that person. You are the one who He chose before the foundation of the world in His big plan. So, yes, His purpose was to save you. But it's not just about just being saved. The race continues on. We have to continue to glorify God in our mortal bodies. So think about ways you can do that. Think about ways you can do that. Give honor and glory to God. But we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. He says, who is the pledge of our inheritance to redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. For this cause also, having heard of the faith in Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you have toward all the saints, don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. All right? He tells them all this. He says, number 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. He wants us to know what is our hope. If I went around and asked each one of you individually who are in Christ, you have to give an answer of the hope that is in you. If you don't have an answer, work on it and get that answer ready. Because we have to glorify God. We have to spread the blessing to others. We have to make God's name known. And I don't just mean God in the abstract way, because we know many people believe in a God. But I'm talking about the God of the Bible. Amen. The God of the heavens and the earth. Amen. Not the sun God. All right, not the rain God. I'm talking about the God who controls all in all. Amen. And who has His Son, who is the King of all kings right now. And who will deliver the kingdom back up to His Father when all things are done. So He says we need to do all those things. But let's go on to verse number 19. I'll skip down a little bit. And He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Do you know how much power you have? Do you know how much power you have at your disposal? And I don't mean it's not yours. You're just a funnel that God's power goes through, right? You're just a funnel. You're just a conduit where God's blessings flow through. When you get a blessing, hopefully somebody around you is being blessed through that blessing, right? When you get power from God, hopefully you are empowering somebody else with that power you get from God. That's what He's saying here. So we're going to continue going. He says, the greatness, the power that is in Him. He says, according to the working of His strength, of His might, in verse number 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and made Him to sit at the right hand in heavenly places. For above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things for the assembly, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Amen and amen. So, we get a lot from this, and I know it's a lot of words used in this, okay? But the main thing is this. He did all the things that He done for us for His name's sake. Right? And He's going to continue to do amazing things with you for His name's sake, all right? So don't get down when you have bad days. When Satan seems to be working his might in you, understand that you can overpower evil with good. You can still look to God and say, look, you are working in me. No matter what's going on the inside of me, even sickness sometimes gets us down, right? I mean, physical sickness can really get you down. But don't be weary, because even in your sickness, Remember Paul said, hey, when I'm weak, right, that's when I'm strongest. That's when I depend on Christ. And that's when he gets the most glory from me, because I can't do for myself then. And whatever is done, ultimately, we can say is from God. Right? Last verse I'm going to read it is in Revelation, and the lesson will be yours. I hope I'm doing okay with timing. I think I'm within about 35 minutes right now, so I think I am. I don't know if I'm telling the truth, but I think I am. So this is the last scripture, all right? Revelation chapter 7. This is the culmination of his plan. This is where his vision is realized for us, all right? Revelation chapter 7. I may have to skip around a little bit, but let's look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. So at Revelation 7, verse number 9, it says, after these things I looked. This is John talking. I looked and behold, a great multitude which no man could count, out of every nation and all tribes, peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. All right? Palm branches symbolizes peace and it symbolizes triumph. All right? When you wave a palm branch around, that means Jesus came through their town in Jerusalem. Donkey, they laid palm branches down for him. Represented that he was here in peaceful ways, all right? He was here to bring the nation peace. They were looking for some physical peace right then and there. But he was trying to tell them, no, I'm to bring you guys closer to God, back with God. But anyway, so he says that there were people, that a number that nobody could count, out of every nation, tribe, tongue, language, things like that. He says they were dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Verse number 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation be to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before his throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are arrayed in white robes, who are they? And from where did they come? And I told them, what do you know? He said to me, these are those who came out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes. They made them white in the Lamb's blood. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. They will never be hungry, neither thirsty anymore. Neither will the sun beat on them. Anybody got the sun beating on them right now? We got some shade. Thank God. But he says, the sun won't be beating on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the middle of the throne shepherds them and leads them to springs of life-giving waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Amen. That's a beautiful picture right there, ain't it? That's a culmination. That's how it's going to look. Right? That's how it's going to look. We're going to be before the throne of God, giving him praises, glory, honor. You're going to be with people that don't look like you. People that didn't speak the same language when, you know, they were there on earth. But who knows what language we're going to be speaking there, right? But we're going to be giving God the glory. We're going to be giving him the honor. And we're going to give him all the blessings. Because of everything that he's done for us, despite of us, for his name's sake. Amen? Is that lesson understandable? Is that plain and easy to understand? All right, good. So that was about you a little bit, right? It was about you a little bit, right? But ultimately, it's about God. God is going to bless you. Be a blessing to others. And make sure that God gets the glory, you know? When people thank you for it, say, thank God, you know? When people say thank you, oh, they say thank you for a good message or a good thing that you give them. Just say, thank God. Thank the God of heaven, right? Thank Jesus Christ, right? Those are little ways you could just sprinkle seeds into their lives. And God wants us to do that. Now, if you are not a member of the church, you are not a member of his body, well, you got to get with the program. All right? You are outside of, well, you have some blessings. Don't get me wrong. You are still blessed. But you are outside of all the spiritual blessings that are coming to us from heavenly places. All right? Number one, you are separated from your God. You are separated from the Creator. He made you. He created you. But he says your sins
have separated you from him. And he is perfect. He cannot be around sin. Therefore, he cannot be around you.
Now, you may wonder, well, I mean, what makes you different than us, right?
The difference is that we obey the gospel. Because he said that this is the reason why he died on the cross for our sins. That was the whole purpose of him coming here. It's to die for us.
But so that he could get the glory.
So he died for you. But you have to do your part. You have to do your part. You have to believe that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. That means you have to change. Turn away from doing your own thing. Turn away from trying to make and build your own kingdom. And build Christ's. His life is your life. He lives through you. That's what repentance is about. You have to confess that he is the Son of God. You have to be willing to be baptized, which I believe we have water here. You can be baptized today, this moment. Do not wait. This is too serious. If you have not obeyed the gospel, maybe you said some kind of sinner's prayer or something like that. But no, he said what to do. Because he is the king. We have to obey his order. He never said, say a sinner's prayer. He never said, come down to before me on some mourner's bench. He never said, just say, come into my heart. No, he said, we will be baptized into him. And then he will make his home in us. Do that today. Do that today. We bid you to come. If you just need prayer, maybe you have been a child of God, but you just haven't been living for his glory. You've been taking blessings, been praying for more blessings. Maybe you haven't been getting some of the blessings because you've been, like they said in James, you ask, but you ask for your own things, for the wrong purpose, and you don't get. Maybe you just need to be put on the right track again. Well, God has not left you without a way to come back. He says, confess your sins, and his blood will continually cleanse you. You can have that cleansing today. Whatever your need may be, stand as we stand all together and sing the song of invitation.